Well, I'd like to, again, thank y'all all for being here tonight and thankful for this opportunity. Now, I don't want to get up here and lie to you. I can't say Bryce was right about saving the best for last, but I'll do what I can. I know we've already been here a while, so running short's kind of my specialty, so I might get out of here a little bit early tonight. But as he said, I'm going to be talking tonight a little bit about the principles of prayer. This was something that, you know, I'd always thought I knew a decent amount about praying, but the more I dug into it and really got more into prayer as the Bible teaches it, I realized there was a lot I really didn't know and a lot I needed to learn. So this lesson has definitely helped me in the way I pray, and I hope maybe it can help some of you tonight. When you really stop and think about it, prayer is one of the greatest privileges we all have as Christians. We all have the ability to talk to God, the creator of the universe, the heavens and the earth, whenever we choose to. There's no limit on the time we can talk to him. You know, we could go to him in prayer right now if we wanted to, whenever we want. And through our prayer, we can cast our burdens upon him, we can seek his guidance, and ultimately, the main goal of all of our prayers should be to deepen our relationship with him. If we go back to the disciples when Jesus was still here on earth, they saw something unique about the prayer life of Jesus. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray," in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. They understood that to Jesus, prayer wasn't just some habit. You know, prayer to him wasn't just something that, you know, he knew he was supposed to do it and he did it, but he didn't really put time or effort into it. And I know for me, and maybe some of you, I can fall victim to that sometimes. I can pray, but not put my full heart into it and not necessarily mean the words I'm saying as I should. And I can be guilty of kind of saying the same things over and over every day when I pray. But to Jesus, the disciples could see that prayer was the source of his strength, and prayer was where he got his wisdom from. And ultimately, prayer was how he communicated with the Father. So in that way, we need to make sure we're trying to be like Jesus. We need to make sure we take prayer very serious and that we use it to become stronger and to gain wisdom and to talk to the Father. So today throughout this lesson, we're going to look at several different principles of prayer. You know, we'll look at why we should pray, how we should pray, and the attitude we should approach prayer with. You know, like I've already said, this really helped me in my prayer life, and I hope it can do the same for you, but we all need to try to grasp these principles and really internalize them and put them to use. So hopefully our prayer life can become a little bit more meaningful and, at the end of the day, more pleasing to God. So when I referenced Luke chapter 11, verse 1 a minute ago, that's when the Lord gave the Lord's Prayer. And that's what we're going to dive into first here. Now, there's two versions in the Bible of the Lord's Prayer. The one we're going to look at comes from Matthew. And the one in Matthew is a little bit longer. It has seven petitions or main points to it. And it starts with God's glory and then kind of goes into our human needs and ends with a plea from deliverance from evil. There's a second version of it found in Luke, which is a little bit shorter, more concise, and it really only has five main things, but it emphasizes daily needs and forgiveness and deliverance from temptation. So before we really start looking at this too deeply, it's important to remember that the Lord's Prayer is a model, and it has a lot of great things that we can take and use in our prayers, but it's not a script. It's not something we need to read every day and it be the only prayer we ever pray. When I played football, before every game, we would all get on a knee in the locker room and we'd say the Lord's Prayer. And there's nothing wrong with that, but with the Lord's Prayer or any prayer, we need to make sure that we're not repeating it over and over. You know, I've fallen guilty of that sometimes in my life, just kind of saying the same prayer every day. We need to make sure that we put thought and efforts into our prayer. When Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer to the disciples, he said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye," Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. So it's intended to serve as a template for our prayers and something we can build our prayers off of, but not some script or, you know, a magic formula for our prayers. So the first verse of the Lord's Prayer that we're going to dive into tonight says, "Hallowed be your name." And we can interpret the word hallowed here to mean praise or set apart or honored. So Jesus starts the Lord's Prayer here by lifting up the Father. And when we're praying, we need to do the same thing. We need to glorify God before we worry about our personal needs or even the needs of somebody else. Whatever we want on this earth, We need to make sure it's second to praising God and glorifying God. And when we do this, when we put into perspective how big God is, it should really help us realize how small our problems are. And how if we have the creator of the universe on our side, there shouldn't be anything on this earth that should, you know, knock us out of the fight or really set us back. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 34, verse 3, "Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." We need to do that in our prayer life. Again, before we get too worried about the things of this earth, before we get worried about ourselves or others, lift up God and praise him. Realize how high and mighty he is. Next verse we want to get into here says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So again, before we get deeper into asking the things we want, we need, you know, or anybody else for that matter, we need to tell God we want his will to be done. This is one of the most important things we need to pray to God for. You know, we can't see what's best for ourselves, but God can. And so with this prayer and with saying this, we're telling God that if anything we pray, if anything we're about to say is outside of his will and outside of what he wants for us, we just want to cancel it out. You know, we don't want it if it's not what God wants for us. So we know God's will is always better than our will, and his ways are higher than our ways. You know, sometimes it's easy to look in somebody else's life and see what they're doing wrong, but it's hard to see it in ourselves. So we need to make sure when we pray, especially something for ourselves, that we ask for God's will to be done and not our own. Next verse of this prayer says, "Give us day by day our daily bread." So we're taught that we need to pray every day for God's provision in our lives, or for him to provide for us. Now, in the first century for Jews, bread was, you know, a staple in their diet. It was essential. They ate bread pretty much every day with pretty much every meal. But when the Bible here is talking about our daily bread, you know, it's not just saying we want a loaf of bread on the kitchen table every day. It's not just a particular food item. This saying this, "give us our daily bread," is talking about all the basic things we need, whether it be food, shelter, clothing. We're just asking God to provide these basic things that we need for us. You know, give us all the clothing, housing, again, food, basic things in our life. It's really a phrase that kind of helps speak to God's provision in general and how he provides to us as a whole. God wants us to come before him and request things from him. It says in James chapter 4, verse 2, "You not have because you do not ask." So big things, small things, even these daily things that we, especially in this country, tend to take for granted. You know, the food, the clothes on our back. We have so much that often we don't even think to be thankful for it. But God still wants us to praise him for it and to ask him for it, so that when we get it, when we wake up and we still have all these things, we can praise God and we can be thankful for them. The next verse we're going to get into says, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us." So in the same way that we need our daily bread, or these basic things that we need every day, more importantly, I think, we need forgiveness of our sins. We need to be forgiven of the wrong we've done towards God. Now, you may run into some people these days, I know I've ran into some of them, that think they really haven't done a lot of wrong. There's not really much they need to be forgiven of. But, I mean, we all know that's not true. We all know that at the end of the day, we're all sinners. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves." So it's important that we realize our sin and we come to God and we ask for forgiveness for it. Now, this sin can come in thoughts, attitudes, or actions, but in some ways we have sinned. And, you know, I can be pretty bad about the attitudes. My parents can ask me to do something like take out the trash, and I'll probably do it, but I may not have the best attitude about doing it. And I know that's something I need to get out of, and I try to have a better attitude about it. But when you think about it in the way that that's how we can be towards God, it really helps put it into perspective. You know, they've given me a house, I have clothes on my back, I've never been hungry, but still these little things that I have to do, sometimes I can, you know, have a sinful way about me because of them. And I say all this not to make anybody feel bad, but just to point out that we need forgiveness, and we need to ask for forgiveness on a regular basis, and it needs to be something that we include in our prayers. And in the same way that we ask for God's forgiveness, we need to be forgiving to others. According to Jesus, the constant forgiveness we have from the Lord is the same forgiveness we need to extend to others. You know, to put it simply, forgiven people, which are us, need to be forgiving people. We need to forgive those around us. And it's very important, and sometimes it's not easy to forgive others, but we need to make sure that we're doing it. Because if the Lord can forgive us of all the wrong we've done to Him and all the times we've sinned against Him, we can forgive somebody for whatever they may have done to us or anybody else around us. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 through 32 actually say that if you fail to forgive someone, you bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. So let's make sure that in our prayers we're asking for forgiveness, but also we're extending the forgiveness that we get to others. So now the last line of this Lord's Prayer here we're going to look at, it says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So with this, we're really asking God to guide us and not move us out of His will, but especially not to lead us into an unnecessary place of temptation. You know, Brother Allen said in his prayer that we're going to be tempted. That's part of this life, and it really is. But through this, we're asking God not to let us be tempted without a purpose, really. You know, those temptations, they often let us come out the other side better than we were before. Stronger Christians, better people, whatever it may be. But we're asking God, you know, don't let us be tempted more than we can resist. And of course, we know He won't. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And with the temptation will also make the way out of us, will also make the way of us escape that you may be able to bear it." So to loosely paraphrase that, God won't give us more than we can handle. You know, if we're being tempted by something, somebody's been tempted by it before. And if they could make it through it, so can we. So it's important that we ask God to deliver us from this temptation and lead us out of it. But it's also important that when we go through it, we know that it could be God's will. So that's all of the Lord's Prayer we'll look at right there. But again, it's important to remember that while this is a good model and it's got a lot of things we need to include in our prayers, it shouldn't be the only thing we pray, nor should any other prayer. But it does have a very good formula for us to pray in. You know, we approach God, this awesome God. We acknowledge how amazing He is. Worship Him, ask for His will to be done in our lives. We turn from sin, we ask for forgiveness from our sins, help with forgiving others, and then finally we ask to be led out of the way of temptation. So now that we're kind of done with the Lord's Prayer, I want to move into some other things the Bible teaches us about prayer, things we should do and things we shouldn't do in our prayers. To start this off, we're going to look at a parable from Luke here, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. "And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.'" God hears a humble heart and not a proud performance. And the Pharisee here is simply praying to really lift himself up and to impress others. He's praying so that people will think he's very spiritual and will think he's this, you know, great person. But on the other hand, the publican here prayed with a spirit of repentance, and he realized how dependent he was on God's mercy. We see that the Pharisee left unchanged. You know, he was the same person he was when he came in and began this prayer. But the publican, he left justified because he prayed with this spirit of repentance and this realization that we all depend on God's mercy, he left changed. So this is an important reminder to us that our prayers aren't to impress anybody. They aren't to put our spirituality on display or to make it seem like we're better than anybody else. But our prayers are for us. And they're to approach God based on His mercy, not our merits, not the great things we've done. you know, we'll never be big enough to, or a good enough Christian that we don't need God's mercy anymore. It can't happen. So it's important that we always remember that and we always approach God based on His mercy. Also, as Christians, this self-righteous attitude that the Pharisee here prayed with is very dangerous to us, especially in our prayer. You know, if we pray like he did with this self-righteous attitude, we're not going to have a good prayer. We're not going to pray as God would have us to, because we're going to be praying to lift ourselves up, not to lift God up. Next, I want to look at another passage in Luke here, chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And he rose up from prayer, and was come to his disciples. He found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The greatest victory any of us as Christians can ever hope to achieve is to get God's will done here on this earth. Jesus expressed his desire to have this cup pass from him. You know, Jesus didn't want to have to die on that cross for us, but he did. And Jesus realized that it wasn't about what he wanted. It was about the Father's will. It's important that we do the same. And I know I've already talked a little bit about praying for God's will to be done in our lives, not our own. But it's very important. It's something that's worth covering twice. Prayer here, it may not change the cup. It didn't for Jesus. Jesus still had to go die on a cross for our sins. But it can strengthen the one who drinks it. You know, it's said in that passage that an angel came down and strengthened Jesus. Now, I'm not saying an angel's going to come down and strengthen any of us. But at the very least, it should instill some confidence in us that whatever we're going through, we have God on our side. And again, if God is with us, you know, what can this world throw at us that we can't handle? Nothing. So next, I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit in prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. God understands these prayers that we sometimes struggle to express. You know, maybe we're so tore up that we can't get the words out, or maybe we just don't know quite how to say or what we want to say. But the prayers we pray, they don't depend on eloquence. You know, God hears every prayer. And it tells us here that the Holy Spirit partners with us to help us in prayer. And so just because our prayer isn't the longest and doesn't have the best language in it, doesn't mean it means any less to God. You know, the Holy Spirit helps us, and it makes it where we can express these prayers to God. And so just because, you know, maybe we're not as good, or we think we're not as good at praying as someone else, whatever the case may be, maybe we can't use all these big words, it should never hinder us from praying, and it should never make us think that that prayer somehow means any less to God. Next, I want to talk a little bit about not worrying. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Every time we have a worry in this life, it's an invitation for us to pray, to seek guidance from God. But the important thing that I see sometimes in this world that it's important not for us to fall into is people that pray and do nothing. You know, sometimes I see this in people that maybe aren't strong in their faith, or maybe they're Christians, but, you know, they never go to church, whatever the case is. But they get in this bad spot, you know, they think that there's no way they can get out of whatever bad is going on in their life around them. So they pray and they ask God to help them. And then they do nothing. They just sit there and wait on a miracle to happen. That's not what we need to do as Christians. You know, a good analogy I like to use for this is a test. You know, I'm in college. I have to take tests sometimes. Some of them are pretty hard. But if I'm getting ready for a hard test, I don't just pray about it and do nothing and go show up to take the test and expect to make 100. No, I study and I do everything I can to pass that test. Then I pray to God for it and I ask for God to help me and to guide me. So it's important that we don't just pray and wait on something to happen. We do everything we can as humans and then pray and then ask God for help. It's important to not sit around and do nothing and just, like I said, wait on a miracle to happen. We need to do what we can. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 and 14 say, "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." When we pray, it should be sincere and trusting. Just as a child depends on his father, that's what we should do, because God is our Father. So we need to make it known that we depend on him. You know, God welcomes those that come in simple faith, such as a child, just as much as he welcomes those that have been studying the Bible all their life and know, you know, more than anybody else does about it. God welcomes them all. So it's also important that you never get discouraged because maybe you don't know as much about the Bible as somebody else, or whatever the case may be. God hears and recognizes all of our prayers just the same. You know, none of these prayers we pray are to impress God. They're to ask for God's help and to ask for God's guidance. But, you know, we're not going to say a 20-minute long prayer to impress God. You know, that should not be what our prayers are about. Next, we're going to go to Acts chapter 16, verse 25. It says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Prayer isn't just for our good days. It's for our bad days, too. A lot of times, prayer helps us more in the darkest nights than it does when we're doing fine. Paul and Silas here pray to God while they're in prison. So we don't need to, as Christians, let our circumstances determine whether we pray or not. You know, it's not about if we're having a good or bad day, and that shouldn't be what determines if we pray that day or not. And oftentimes, prayer produces peace in those hard times. You know, the Bible tells us that God can give us peace beyond understanding. And when we pray, we can hope to gain that peace. And another important thing for us as Christians to remember is that the world sees what we do in those hard times. You know, if we go through those hard times and we never show that we need God, you know, we never read the Word, we never pray to God, the world sees that. And these people, especially that aren't already Christians, that see us, you know, as Christians, never depend on God to get through our hard times. Well, if we don't need God in our hard times, why would they? So while we need to make sure we're not praying for anybody else or to impress anybody else, it is important to lean on God in those hard times. You know, here the prison doors were closed for Paul and Silas, but the door to heaven remained open, as it always does for us. So just because we're in a hard time, whatever the case may be, pray about it. We should always pray, good times or bad. Next, we're going to go to Romans chapter 15, verse 30. "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." So we as God's people are all strongest when we come together and pray. You know, Paul here urged the believers to strive together in prayer, and that's what we need to do. Prayer creates partnership between us believers. It grows us closer to each other. And these burdens or these hard times that we share as believers, when we pray about them and when those prayers get answered, we see that and we see God working in our lives through those prayers. And they become victories and they grow us closer to each other. Next, we're going to go to Romans chapter 10, verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Whatever burdens our heart, whatever's heavy on our heart, should drive us to pray about it. You know, here, Paul's desire for Israel's salvation became his prayer, and it was what he prayed about. So whatever is really bothering us, you know, we can't stop thinking about it, can't put it out of our mind, whatever the case may be, that's what we need to pray about. That should drive us to pray about that matter. And in this way, when we pray about that thing that's heavy on our heart, we can't stop thinking about it, prayer reveals what matters most to us. So whether it be, you know, praying for someone, you know, maybe somebody you love is in a bad spot, or maybe you're worried about your job, whatever it may be, those things that are just, you can't stop thinking about it, that's what you need to take to the Lord in prayer. And these burdens we go through, these hard times that are heavy on our mind, when we don't pray about them, it doesn't accomplish a whole lot. Because we may get through the hard time, but if we never pray to God and ask God to help us, we don't see God working in our lives. And when we see God answer our prayers, that's what helps us grow as Christians. Now we're going to look at a couple verses talking about how much to pray. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." So for us as faithful Christians, our prayers shouldn't be occasional. You know, they shouldn't be every now and then. We need to pray all the time. We need to pray continuously. And so we're called to persevere in these prayers regardless of our circumstances. You know, I kind of talked about that a minute ago with Paul and Silas being in prison, but we need to pray all the time. You know, there's no set number of prayers we need to say in the day, nothing like that, but we need to make sure we're praying to God often. We need to pray continually. And it's important that even when the answers to our prayers seem delayed or like they're never coming, we keep praying. Sometimes those unanswered prayers are what help us. You know, again, we can't always see what's best in our life, but God knows what's best for us. So an unanswered prayer isn't always a bad thing. It's important to keep praying, even when those prayers don't seem to be getting answered. This persistence in prayer and continuing prayer shows our faith, and it demonstrates our faith to God and how we are a faithful Christian. Another important thing to remember is that prayer is not determined by just, you know, our intensity. We may say a great prayer, but if we pray, you know, once every few days, that's not what we need to be doing. Our prayer should be determined by consistency also. Now, we do need to say good prayers, absolutely, but we need to make sure we're saying them often and not just, you know, every once in a while. So I know I've taken up a good bit of your time tonight, so I'll start kind of wrapping it up here. But hopefully, as we've kind of looked at some of these different principles of prayer and the different things we need to include in them, some things we shouldn't do in them, hopefully we'll realize that, above all, prayer isn't just a religious duty. You know, it's not something we just need to have in our routine and do it because we're supposed to. We need to recognize that prayer is a relationship with God, above all. That's what it is. You know, the Bible teaches us pray humbly like the publican, pray submissively like Christ did in the Garden of Gethsemane, pray dependently with the help of the Holy Spirit, and pray in those times of worry, those times you're stressed, and, you know, whether we're here, whether we're alone, you know, pray. And we need to take a step back and really realize what an incredible privilege it is that we can pray, that we can talk to the Creator of the universe whenever we feel like it, whenever we choose to. And we never have to wonder if God's available, if He'll hear our prayers or not. He always hears our prayers. Now, something I kind of realized through when I was making this lesson, and it really kind of hit me, was that perhaps the greatest tragedy in our lives as Christians is not an unanswered prayer, but a prayer we never even bothered to pray. You know, how many blessings or how many things have we missed? How many times have we let temptation win in our life? You know, how many times have we even missed the opportunity to share the gospel or to even convert somebody to Christianity because we never even bothered to pray about it? I've used this verse before, but I think it's very fitting here, so I'm going to go back to it. James chapter 4, verse 2, "Ye have not because ye ask not." These things we may see as little, maybe we don't know if we should pray about them or not, we need to pray about them. You know, these things that we'll never know if we miss out on them or not, but if we pray about them, we won't have to wonder. So as we leave here tonight and as I finish up this lesson, I hope we didn't simply, you know, learn a little bit more about prayer. I hope we can become a people that, you know, pray better. You know, whether it's setting a time and a place to pray, maybe both, but just a determination to pray continually and to say good prayers, pray often. And it's, you know, important for us to remember that at the end of the day, we'll never rise above the level of needing prayer. You know, we'll never get so good that we don't depend on God. And that's what our prayer should be, dependent on God. So as we leave, pray humbly, pray believingly, pray earnestly, pray persistently, and pray without ceasing. So that's all I've got tonight, and if anybody needs the services of the church, please come as we stand and sing.